Wednesday, September 27th, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we release a new podcast every single week, and we try to bring some common sense to a sports world that desperately needs it. Every once in a while, we might take a look back at some sports history. We basically try to bring you something different that you're not going to get anywhere else. If you're sick of the same old sports talk, you're going to like it a little bit better here at The Daily Dose. There are a couple of ways you can participate in the show. You can go check out new articles. You can go check out a link to the podcast every single week. If you head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com, see what is brewing over there. This week, in fact, a poll went up. Very scientific poll. You know, we don't do these polls willy-nilly. Very scientific poll that went up this week about the NFL. You may want to head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and check out what that poll had to say. But maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you need some advice about something. You have something you would like to contribute to the Daily Dose. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or find us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. That is DALYDOSE Sports. Daily Dose Sports, we'd love to hear from you. We would love to get your thoughts. Today on the show, okay, I am going to break some news right now. Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to break some news right now, and I want to make sure that you hear this news. We will not be talking about President Donald Trump telling sports fans and telling sports franchises and telling players what they should be doing this week on the show. No, we're not going to do it. Yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. See, you've been hearing that all weekend. You've been hearing that all week so far. You sure don't need to hear my opinion on it. Honestly, you don't really need to hear anyone's opinion on it. I was already sick of it by Saturday night, and it just keeps coming and coming and coming. And if you turn on sports talk, it's, well, what should they do? And what about Donald Trump? And what are they going to do next week? Are they going to kneel? Or are they not going to kneel? Oh, I'm so sick of it. Not going to get into that. I don't want to do it. It feels very divisive. It feels very unproductive. It doesn't feel constructive in any way. And my problem with the whole thing, honestly, on both sides, so much about our feelings. It's all about feelings. One side says, well, I feel that this is a freedom of speech issue. No, it isn't. See, no one's going to put you in jail for kneeling. Now, you might lose your job. I don't know. But that's not freedom of speech. That's an employee-employer relationship. If you work at a grocery store and you cuss at customers, you might get fired. So it's not a freedom of speech issue. You won't go to jail. You just could be in some trouble with your employer. And on the other side, we have the other side saying, well, I just feel like if they kneel, it's a slap in the face of every soldier who ever fought for our country. No, it isn't. See, our brave men and women fight for this country for the very right to do this sort of thing. You will not go to jail for taking a political stand. You will not go to jail for kneeling. That's why the men and women fight to protect our freedom. But see, here's the thing. On the Daily Dose, I don't really like to talk about feelings. We like to deal in facts here on the Dose. We don't like to deal in feelings. And the worst thing about all the feelings is that we're pushing all our feelings onto our children as facts. Hey, let's do this. How about this? Let's be kind to each other. Let's stop focusing on our feelings. Let's not turn this into something that it isn't. Let's go ahead and listen to each other without screaming at each other. Let's act a little more presidential than our current president and not call each other offensive names. This has now changed from being a protest to help people to a protest to prove we can protest. So let's go ahead and focus on finding actual real solutions to help people and not just pointing out problems, which is pretty easy to do. Anyone can point out problems. Let's help the people that need to be helped. And let's not discuss this any further here on the Dose because I'm already sick of it. And I know you are too. If you've turned on sports radio at all, I know you're sick of it too. Let's be constructive. That's where we're at. Let's deal in facts, not in feelings. I get tired of feelings. So instead, today, we are going to take a look at the college football teams that aren't quite living up to expectations so far. And here's the thing. It's not that I'm mad. I'm just disappointed. Aww. Also, there are a number of NFL teams that are off to a good start. There are NFL teams that are struggling. But we have managed to find some good news about a number of different teams. And of course, there's another side to that because we also have some bad news for them too. I'm going to answer a few listener emails that we've received over the last few weeks. And we do have a very interesting Daily Dose top five today that might make you feel a little bit better if maybe your favorite NFL team is off to a slow start. Yes, folks, in a world that can feel cynical, in a world that is very, very cold, here at the Daily Dose, we are providing everyone with a glimmer of hope today. But first, do you realize that last week we saw the Major League Baseball record for most home runs in a single season get broken? Yeah. Last week, MLB hitters hit their 5,694th home run of the season, breaking the mark set back in 2000 when you could literally see hypodermic needles sticking out of guys' pants. Remember those days? Remember the commercials? Chicks dig the long ball. We were all glued to our TVs watching Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds. We still have a few games to go and the record is already broken. Do we care anymore? I don't think we do. You want proof? Did you know that the record was broken? Did you really care? So no, we don't really care, do we? And it just seems like Major League Baseball is inflating these numbers again. They're playing with a Super Bowl now or a corked bat or corked players or whatever it might be. Either way, I don't know if anyone's paying too much attention to the home run record. But having said that, baseball is starting to become interesting right about now. See, the regular season is going to end on Sunday. Who's going to move on to the postseason? Now, you might be saying, there really isn't any drama this year as to who's going to win the division, at least. And you'd be correct if you said that. But we do have some very interesting things that could be shaping up in the postseason. Take a look a little bit at some of the playoff projections. Because over in the American League, the Cleveland Indians are reminding everyone, hey, remember us? Don't forget about us. Remember last year we were in the World Series? Yeah, they're the favorite to get back over on the American side again. They're going to win at least 100 games, and for that, they're probably going to be facing the winner of the AL wildcard, and it is looking like it is going to be the winner of a New York Yankees and Minnesota Twins wildcard. Hey, the Yankees have found a way to battle their way into the postseason. I'm a little bit surprised by it, and this could be a really fun wildcard game, but honestly, I can't see either of these teams giving much of a series to Cleveland. Cleveland just looks like they're playing a different game than everyone else right now. Should be fun to watch, though. Also on the American side, the Houston Astros cooled off there for a while, and they will most likely be facing the Boston Red Sox over in the ALDS, but it seems like they're starting to get back on track. Here's the thing. If we end up with Cleveland versus Houston in the American League Championship, how good is that going to be? I can't even believe I'm saying this, but I would actually be watching baseball. I know. I just wait for the playoffs, and then I actually start watching some baseball. Now, here's the one sleeper team that I think could surprise everyone. The Boston Red Sox have been playing what amounts to be playoff baseball down this stretch, trying to keep the New York Yankees at bay. Don't sleep on the Red Sox giving Houston all they would want in that series. American League's going to be fun to watch. Over on the National League side, the Los Angeles Dodgers have been falling faster than NFL players during the national anthem.
Oh, no, you didn't.
But here's the thing. Don't get too carried away because they are not a lost cause. This team is still going to get 100 wins. And while Justin Turner might have cooled off, Cody Bellinger, Chris Taylor, and yes, even Yasiel Puig are still producing. Hey, no one is going to want to see a team that has Clayton Kershaw and Yu Darvish back-to-back in a series, are they? Here is the problem, though, for the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're going to be the top seed in the National League. So they get the winner of the National League wildcard, right? That's most likely going to be the Arizona Diamondbacks or the Colorado Rockies. Now, these teams know each other. The Dodgers have played the Diamondbacks 20 times this year. Yeah, and Arizona has won 12 of those games. And the Colorado Rockies have actually beaten the Dodgers right now 4 times in a row. They'll be finishing their season up with a 3-game series against Colorado in Denver this coming weekend. Hey, Los Angeles might want to get off that losing streak there because you could be seeing this team again in the postseason very, very soon. Either way, going to be a challenging series for the Los Angeles Dodgers. As good as they've looked this year, as strong as they've looked, and they have it all. They've got pitching, they've got hitting, they've got bullpen, they have everything. Were they just kind of trying to get through the regular season? Remember, we talked a few weeks back, they just wish the season would end. Or are there some legitimate concerns for this team that could be exposed even as early as when they see the Diamondbacks or the Rockies? Also in the national side, The Washington Nationals are quietly having a very, very good season. They should end up seeing the Chicago Cubs, who it seems like have finally learned how to put together more than like one or two quality games. In the second half of the season, we saw the Cubs kind of having to do what the Red Sox did over on the American side. They've had to keep winning and winning and winning just to try to hold off the competition because Milwaukee is right there lurking. Now, we know here at the Daily Dose that the city of Washington, D.C. is cursed as far as getting any sort of a championship, right? We all know that. And the Nationals probably have no chance of actually winning the World Series. But Nats Cubs? That's a pretty good first-round series, isn't it? Playoff baseball is honestly the only time that baseball is truly watchable where I can actually just tune in and watch a game from start to finish. And this postseason should be highly entertaining. Yes, we have favorites, clearly. Between the Indians, I guess you can throw the Astros in there, and the Dodgers, we have favorites. But there are about five or six teams that could win the whole thing. It's going to be fun to see who is going to step up. You know, we do get some emails here at the Daily Dose, and I will always respond to them as quickly as possible, whether it's an email or a tweet back to you or whatever it might be. If there's something that I think our audience is going to enjoy, I'm going to read them, and I'm going to discuss them a little on the show. Feel free to send us any questions you might have to dailydosesports@gmail.com. And of course, you can reach out to us over on Facebook or Twitter. But I heard from a number of listeners that had the same question last week. And that question was just kind of phrased a different way. Was the Canelo Alvarez versus Gennady Golovkin fight fixed? And here's my answer. I'm going to say yes, sort of. I mean, it depends on your definition of fixed. Of course, last weekend, we saw Canelo and Triple G battle for the middleweight boxing championship of the world. And the decision ended in a draw, despite the fact that pretty much everyone who watched the fight thought Gennady Golovkin won the fight. One judge scored the fight 118-110 in favor of Canelo.
Are you high?
Now, as bizarre as this might sound, that judge is not the fix.
What?
Hear me out. She's too obvious. If you were fixing it, you'd make it close. You'd have it be like the 115-113, like it's close, I don't know, I kind of swung it the other way. You wouldn't have it be 118-110. Everyone would notice. The judge that ruled it that way, she's not dirty. She's just horribly incompetent.
Oh.
And she is swayed far too much by the crowd instead of by what's actually happening in the ring. So here is the fix. The Nevada Athletic Commission put her on the fight, knowing of her history to be swayed by the crowd. And knowing the probability that she would give Canelo a decision. She has a history of giving Canelo odd decisions. If either fighter wins this fight by unanimous decision, there is going to be less interest for a second fight. If it's close and there's a little bit of controversy, hey, they can't get the second fight scheduled soon enough right now. And that's exactly what they got. And they're already saying it could happen as early as this spring. Funny how that all worked out, isn't it? So, was it a fix? Not really, but it was fix-ish. Our next question comes to us from a listener in Oklahoma, and he always brings good questions to the table. Jason in Oklahoma asks, do you think Baker Mayfield can be a successful quarterback in the NFL? Hey, Baker is my boy.
You're my boy, Blue!
Remember, Baker Mayfield is my pick to win the Heisman this year, and he has done nothing to discourage me. On Saturday, when he threw for another three touchdowns, and kept the Oklahoma Sooners unbeaten against a Baylor team that kind of had an upset on their mind. Yeah, showed me that he's still pretty good. Like, he's right there. Hey, if this is 1999, if this is 2005, I would say that Baker Mayfield doesn't have much of a chance to be an NFL quarterback. He's only 6'1". He's just too small. He'll just be another Johnny Manziel. Or if we go back a little earlier, he'll be another Cade McNown. But it's 2017. I think Russell Wilson has changed that thinking a little bit. Say what you will about Mayfield, he is highly accurate, and he isn't a guy that is making his living with his legs. He can make all of the throws, and this kid does not like to lose. I like the way he competes. If Baker Mayfield could get in the right system with the right coach that would utilize what he could do, yeah, I could see him being at least a decent quarterback in the NFL. Here's the one word of caution that I would have for Baker Mayfield. And I'll just throw this out there. He needs to stop all the talking and all the off-field nonsense. And I'll tell you why. That stuff could scare some NFL teams away from him. Despite the fact that he's very, very talented, because it's going to remind them of the Johnny Manziels. He doesn't need that. He seems to be doing a lot more talking this year, I guess, than he has in the past. And it makes me wonder if maybe Bob Stoops was the guy that was kind of keeping him quiet. Someone needs to get in Baker Mayfield's ear, let him know, hey, you can do it. Like, you can talk, you can be yelling at Baylor that you're going to spank him today or whatever. But understand, you could be costing yourself some serious money by doing that stuff. Go play like you're capable of playing and stop some of the nonsense, or you're just going to limit the chances that you might get. Okay, one final question, and this comes from Jay Cool Boy on Twitter. And Jay Cool Boy asks us, who won the Carmelo Anthony trade, Knicks or Thunder? Of course, if you didn't hear, over the weekend, Carmelo Anthony waived his no trade clause and allowed the New York Knicks to trade him to Oklahoma City. The Knicks get Enes Kanter, Doug McDermott, and a 2018 draft pick. The Thunder gets Carmelo Anthony. You know, we just talked about this. NFL's here. College football's here. I thought I was done talking about Carmelo Anthony.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
I would say the winner of this trade is actually probably Kevin Durant, because between this and the whole Trump thing, everyone has completely stopped talking about what an idiot Kevin Durant was being on Twitter. He was like trolling people. He had some fake account he was using. Everyone's kind of forgotten about that. You know, I've told you, more talent is always better than less talent, especially in basketball. My problem with this trade for the Oklahoma City Thunder is now you have a player that can't play defense and takes bad shots, right? That's what you got in Carmelo. If I gave you the scouting report on Oklahoma City this past season, what would it say? Let's see, very talented, can score points, don't play defense, and take too many bad shots. Nice job, OKC. Now you got more of that. And isn't it going to be a little bit hard to win games with Russell Westbrook not passing and Melo hogging the ball? Like, at what point will they actually go to blows over the basketball? Good luck, Billy Donovan. You're going to need it. Hey, thanks for the questions. Keep them coming. We love to hear from our Daily Dose listeners. Okay, I know it's not college hoop season quite yet, but there is a story coming out in college basketball. It's pretty interesting. Not sure if you've seen this story, but it seems that four assistant college basketball coaches from Arizona, Auburn, Oklahoma State, and Southern California have been arrested on federal corruption charges. This took place yesterday after they were caught taking thousands of dollars in bribes to steer NBA-destined college stars towards certain sports agents, financial advisors, that kind of thing. And there are probably going to be more coming. Hey, this isn't going to be some NCAA violations BS, and maybe it costs you your job, or maybe you don't get to go to a bowl game, or in this case, you don't get to go to the NCAA tournament. No. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about your university might get dinged for a few scholarships. This is a federal crime. This is going to land some people in a real jail. And look, we all know this kind of stuff happens. There are college coaches right now in a panic because there's a lot of schools doing this kind of stuff. There's a lot of coaches doing this kind of stuff. There are going to be more coaches and more schools named in this. Talk right now is that most of these were Adidas schools. Adidas was pushing some sort of agenda on this. Expect this to get even bigger over the next few months, and expect to see some other college coaches be named and some other colleges be named. This is really, really scary, bad stuff. Federal corruption charges? Yeah, that's not good. Coming back, we are going to look at a few college football teams that are not living up to expectations. It's not that we're mad. We're just disappointed, and we have some good news and some bad news for a few NFL teams. Plus, you do not want to miss our Daily Dose Top 5. We are giving people hope in this time of despair.
I say, boy, every time I gotta go get new boxing gloves for that daggone chicken hawk, I go to RoganTail.com/Amazon. And I get him the bestest boxing gloves that Amazon could buy. Look at that. He's hitting that dog. That is the dumbest dog I've ever seen.
Dear podcast listener, We accept the fact that we have to sacrifice not only our Wednesdays, but our Fridays as well to entertain you. But we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had the basket case.
And I'm a princess.
And I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com.
We are now about a month into the college football season. And I have to say, there are a few teams that have not been living up to the hype that they were receiving before the season. You know, I realize that these things can be fluid. You look at a team like Alabama. In the first few games, hey, they weren't that impressive. But it seems like they're getting better every single game. But there are a few teams that don't seem to be doing the same as Alabama. We thought they could dominate. We thought they might be a contender. And it hasn't happened. It's not that I'm mad. I'm just disappointed.
I'm not angry. Just terribly, terribly hurt.
With that in mind, here are a few teams that are not getting it done, at least so far. Okay, I'm not quite ready to declare the Ohio State Buckeyes dead just yet, because they can control their own destiny. But remember, this team was supposed to be a national championship contender. They don't look like it right now. We saw them get blown out at home by Oklahoma, but they've also looked pretty average against teams like Army and this past week against UNLV. They're in the soft spot of their schedule, but it's about to get tougher because don't forget, they get Maryland and they get Penn State at home, but they still have to go to Iowa. They still have to go to Michigan. So they'll get their opportunity to redeem themselves if that loss to Oklahoma, I guess, was kind of a fluke, or they're going to get the opportunity to bury themselves. Whatever. Can they figure out how to generate any sort of offense when they play the good teams? That's my biggest question for Oklahoma, because they sure haven't shown that. And it's not just this year. They haven't shown that over the past 2 or 3 years. Hey, it's not that I'm mad at you, Ohio State.
Just terribly, terribly hurt.
Okay, so I thought that the schedule might prove to be a little too much for the LSU Tigers. Since they have to go to Florida, they have to go to Alabama, they have to go to Tennessee, and they still have to play Auburn. Never mind any of those games. LSU got smacked upside their Cajun heads by Mississippi State last week, 37-7, which at the time maybe didn't sound too bad until we saw Mississippi State then get blown out by Georgia this past weekend. Georgia beat them 31-3, so now you still have those games coming for LSU, and you've already been blown out once. Here is the bottom line question that I have for LSU, and I'm going to have it for a while. How much patience is LSU going to have with Ed Orgeron when he sounds like Sling Blade?
Football kind of shaped like a banana.
Hey, don't lose 3 or 4 more games, because the natives down at LSU might start to get a little bit restless. And if they do, I don't know that they're going to give you nearly as much leeway as they did with Les Miles, Ed Orgeron. Because, and I hate to say this, because you don't sound like Les Miles. You sound like Ed Orgeron. It's a little different when he talks, isn't it? LSU, again, I'm not mad at you.
Just terribly, terribly hurt.
Hey, one thing you can always count on with Bill Snyder's Kansas State teams is they aren't going to sleepwalk 1 week and get beat by a team they shouldn't lose to, right? Well, except they already did that. Last week, the Kansas State Wildcats lost at Vanderbilt 14-7, and I realize it's not the same Vandy team that the entire SEC tried to schedule for homecoming games. Remember those years? Like, every single team was like, yeah, we have to play Vandy week one. I guess we're having homecoming in week one. I know it's a little different, but we're going to go ahead and schedule homecoming. It's going to be in late August this year, because that's the only time we can get Vandy. Guess that's when we're going to do it. This is the Vandy team that is a little bit better than that, but it's also the same Vandy team that got beat by 60 to Alabama this past Saturday. And see, I thought that Kansas State might be a dark horse pick in the Big 12. Now I'm not so sure. Problem for Kansas State, they make this non-conference schedule of horrible teams, and they do it every single year. Their non-conference schedule backfired on them this year. They thought, well, schedule Vandy, they're an SEC team, we'll beat them, at least it's an SEC team. Yeah, unless you lose to them. And then they turn out not to be very good either. I still think Kansas State can be a dangerous team. They can wreck some seasons in the Big 12 for some other teams. But I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't a little bit disappointed in them. Another team I wasn't expecting a ton from, but did anyone expect the UCLA Bruins to be allowing over 43 points per game? I mean, Jim Mora Jr. is a defensive guy, right? Bruins fans were all excited when in the opening weekend, they managed to come back from a 34-point deficit and beat Texas A&M. Unfortunately, it turns out Texas A&M is awful. So now, UCLA has lost back-to-back games to Memphis, not in basketball, Memphis football. Not like Derrick Rose was playing, and then to Stanford. And in those two games, they allowed 106 points. Now you get to play Oregon, and you get to play Washington, and you get to play Utah, oh, and USC. Your defense is about to get lit up like a Christmas tree. And even worse, Josh Rosen doesn't seem like he's consistent enough to carry this team and rack up points, and hey, we'll just try to outscore you. So again, UCLA, I ain't mad at you.
Just terribly, terribly hurt.
Next team up. The Florida Gators lost their opener against Michigan. But since then, they have managed to win two games in a row and against decent teams. They beat Tennessee and they beat Kentucky on the road. So why am I disappointed in the Gators? Because I have eyes. The Gators offense is one of the worst in college football. And the only reason that Florida is not 0-3 right now is because their opponents have somehow been dumber than they have been. And I mean, that's really saying something. When you think about what the Gators have done, and now they're in trouble with some sort of credit card fraud, and there's like eight players in trouble. Somehow, the teams they've scheduled have been even dumber. 2 weeks ago, against Tennessee, the Gators were headed toward what was probably going to be an overtime loss. They had been outgained 442-317 in yardage, but somehow, the Tennessee Volunteers forgot to get back on defense. And they allowed a 63-yard bomb to score with no time left. That's pretty dumb. Then this week, against Kentucky, the Gators were dominated most of the game until Kentucky decided to go all Kentucky on us and forget to guard receivers, take a few late penalties, and even with the biggest play of the game on the line, they didn't have enough players on the field.
Are you high?
So Florida scored the game-winning touchdown. Hey, I will say this, though. Enjoy the 2-1 start, Florida Gators, because with that horrible defective offense and all of the problems you have with your players off the field, it is a matter of time before this team starts losing games. And I don't mean one game. I mean multiple games. The bell tolls, Florida, and it tolls for thee. Again, I'm not mad.
Just terribly, terribly hurt.
Now, the Baylor Bears would be our biggest disappointment, if not for the fact that they actually battled Oklahoma for four quarters on Saturday. No one was expecting that much from Baylor this season. But did anyone expect this? Okay, on Saturday, Baylor lost 49-41 to Oklahoma. There's no shame in that. Then last week, they lost 34-20 to the Duke Blue Devils. Okay, well, I mean, Duke is solid. They're not great, but they're okay. The previous week, Baylor lost 17-10 to the University of Texas San Antonio.
What?
No, I looked it up. It's a real school. Wait for it. This is going to get worse. In their opening week, the Baylor Bears lost 48-45 to FCS. Remember, it used to be called Division I AA. FCS school, Liberty University. You know Liberty. I mean, nobody circles the wagons like Liberty. Okay, maybe you don't know Liberty. Liberty is the Baptist University in Lynchburg, Virginia, founded by the late Reverend Jerry Falwell. Yes, the Liberty Baptists beat the Baylor Rapists. I always do that. That's my bad.
Man, that's just mean.
The Liberty Baptists beat the Baylor Baptists. Sorry. Again, that's a slip on my part. I apologize for it. Let's see if I can edit that out. That's my bad. So what we basically had, we had Baptist on Baptist crime. Baylor, I'm not mad at you, but you can't lose the Liberty. Our final team on this list, and it's going to have to be a team that could now be in full disarray. And I know it's early. There's still some big games coming, but there's some really bad handwriting on the wall for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Hey, what's the big deal? They're 2-2. It isn't like anyone was expecting a national championship in Nebraska, is it? See, that's where you're wrong. every year, the Nebraska Cornhusker fans think they are winning the national championship, and they're a little bit annoyed that you aren't smart enough to realize it yet. So, the Huskers started off the season with a close win over Arizona State. Then they lost a close game to Oregon, not the end of the world. Then they lost at home to Northern Illinois. Remember, head coach Mike Riley was just given a contract extension prior to the season by athletic director Sean Eichhorst. After the loss to Northern Illinois, Nebraska fired Eichhorst.
Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is a man.
I didn't even say Einhorn. I said Eichhorst, not Einhorn. Eichhorst. Anyways, the Huskers have yet to name his new replacement. But if I'm Mike Riley, I might start getting the house ready to sell. See, athletic directors, they like hiring their own coaches. They're kind of funny that way. Now, Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Penn State are all still coming for Nebraska. And don't drop a game to someone like a Purdue or a Northwestern or a Minnesota. Nebraska's season could unravel very, very quickly. Hey, Nebraska.
I'm not angry, just terribly, terribly hurt.
You know, week three is a strange week in the NFL, and no, I'm not talking about all the protests. I'm talking about actually on the field. Good teams looked bad. Bad teams looked good. Everything was kind of just upside down this week in the NFL. See, I know that people thought the New England Patriots might go undefeated and all of that silliness. But the fact is, anyone can be beaten on any given Sunday in this league. The margin for error at the NFL level, it's just so small. You might think it's not. You might look at a team like, I don't know, say the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Chicago Bears, and you say, well, look at the difference in talent. I mean, the Steelers are loaded. The Steelers are a contender. The Bears, they can barely win a game. But that margin for error is so small. Everybody has talent. Everybody can play in this league. You have an off week, and suddenly the worst team in the league will beat you. I don't care what team you are. You have some positives, and you have some negatives. And this week, we're going to look at a few of those for some different teams in a segment we like to call Good News, Bad News. Is that our music for Good News, Bad News? I don't think that has anything to do with Good News, Bad News. I don't want to hear that. No, don't play that. I don't want to hear that. Okay, let's first touch on a team that's struggling a little bit. The Los Angeles Chargers. We have some good news for the Los Angeles Chargers. Yes, the Chargers might be 0-3. But hey, they've been in every game they've played in. They lost twice on missed field goals. And then they battled the Kansas City Chiefs until it was pretty late. This team could be, possibly be, close to turning some things around. Couldn't they? You look at that team. They've battled every single week. They could be close. They might get this thing fixed. But then we have some bad news for the Los Angeles Chargers. And the bad news is mostly that they keep finding ways to lose. And there are certain teams, and I don't care who you're cheering for, I don't care what you're cheering for, there are certain teams that understand how to win, and there are certain teams that don't. And right now, the Los Angeles Chargers are one of those teams. They can't make the plays. We always think of the big final play that wins the game. You know, the 80-yard bomb that wins the big game. Those aren't the plays. Sometimes it's just that play in the third quarter, and maybe you don't turn it over, or maybe you get a first down, and maybe it doesn't lead to any points, but it doesn't lead to the other team scoring on you. We always think back to sometimes the big plays. It's not always those big plays. The Chargers are incapable of making any of the plays right now. And if I have to hear one more time about how there isn't a bad seat in that high school stadium they're playing in, there also isn't an occupied seat in that stadium unless it's for another team. They're playing in a 25,000-seat soccer stadium, and the Chargers can't sell it out. They shouldn't be in Los Angeles. Can we all agree to that? In fact, I'm not sure that they should be at all. The defense is not living up to the hype right now. The injuries are starting to pile up. I still say this all goes back to Marty Schottenheimer voodoo. I'm telling you, you can't fire a guy that goes 13-3. But here's a thought I want to throw out to you. On New Year's Eve, the Los Angeles Chargers host the Oakland Raiders in that little bandbox that they have going. The Raiders should be contending for a playoff spot. The Chargers, I don't know if they'll be contending for a playoff spot. Right now, it doesn't look good. The Raider fans are going to outnumber Charger fans. I'm just throwing this out there. That might not be a happy place to be on New Year's Eve. Hey, there's already talk they should move back to San Diego. I don't think San Diego wants them back. Things could not have started much worse for the Los Angeles Chargers. Speaking of a team that has not got off to a good start, the New York Giants. Hey, there is good news for the Giants. They have come back from slow starts before. We talked a few weeks back. The Giants have a history of starting slow and then going on to actually win Super Bowls. So all is not lost for the New York Giants. Their defense is still pretty good. They're getting put in bad positions and they're still only allowing 21 points a game. If that offense could kind of get some things going, the Giants don't play in the most difficult division. They could be in the thick of a playoff race if they could figure a few things out. Here's the bad news for the New York Giants. You can blame Eli Manning all you want, and I totally understand it. He's been awful. He's missing open receivers. He's making silly, sometimes rookie-feeling mistakes. It is rough to watch Eli Manning in the New York Giants offense right now, but understand this. He doesn't have much help. He's already been sacked 8 times. He's already been hit 16 times, and the Giants have no running game whatsoever. So we look at Eli Manning, and we say, man, he sucks. That guy's bad. Bench him. Get him out of there. He's missing open receivers even when he does have time. Yes, because he's been hit so many times, he's hearing footsteps even when they're not there. So is Eli blameless? Of course not. But it's not all on him. Bench him and watch what happens. Things will go from bad to worse real, real quick. New York Giants have got to figure out that offensive line. And I mean quickly. Getting Odell Beckham Jr. back helped. They need some help on that offensive front though. Let's move on to another team. Good news for the Pittsburgh Steelers is that they look like they could be a contender in the AFC, despite the fact I know they lost to the Bears on Sunday. Their defense has gotten so much better over the past few seasons. And think about it. You have Ben Roethlisberger. You have Antonio Brown. You have Le'Veon Bell. This team should have some serious firepower. But we've got some bad news. Because the offense looks good on paper, it hasn't actually looked so good on the field. Do you realize right now the Pittsburgh Steelers are ranked 29th in rushing yards per game? Le'Veon Bell is getting 59 yards per game. And it's not like they've played killers. They played the Browns, who know how to play them. They played the Vikings, who do have a good defense. And they played the Bears. If the Steelers can't get this run game to come around, I don't like their chances down the stretch. They can't afford to be losing to teams like the Bears. And they clearly need home field advantage. Because this Pittsburgh Steelers team and Ben Roethlisberger have proven to be a very different team on the road than they are at home. They can't afford to lose to teams like the Bears. They've got to get things together because if they have to go to somewhere like, I don't know, New England or Kansas City, might not go well for them. Another good news, bad news team. You have the best quarterback in the game today in Aaron Rodgers. And while the Green Bay Packers have started a little bit slow, the good news is we know that come December, it seems like that's just when they hit their stride, isn't it? Suddenly, Aaron Rodgers has developed a couple wide receivers we've never heard of. Maybe he sticks a wide receiver in the backfield and runs him at running back. The play calling is suddenly better. Aaron Rodgers has dumped his girlfriend. Things are clicking for the Green Bay Packers in December. That's just kind of what they do. Here's the bad news for the Packers. The injuries are already starting to rack up again. I don't know what kind of weird voodoo is going on in Green Bay, but they just keep getting injured. Already this year, Randall Cobb, Nick Perry, David Bakhtiari, Jake Ryan, Mike Daniels. Jordy Nelson is banged up. I know he played on Sunday and he played well, caught the game-winning touchdown. He's already banged up. It seems like every year, the Packers just have so many injuries. At some point, you'd think they'd stay healthy, but they haven't done it yet. Doesn't look like it's going to be this year either. In addition, this team is struggling to run the ball again. Last week against the Falcons, they were completely dominated. And I won't put too much into a big loss in September, but they did look like they were solidly outmatched. Oh, and that division they play in, it seems like it might be even tougher this year with Detroit and Minnesota. They look like they're going to compete and try to be in the thick of that division title. Green Bay, you got your work cut out for you. Let's move on to a team a little closer to my heart. Because for all of the talk last season about the offense and Trevor Siemian, the Denver Broncos' biggest struggle was the lack of run defense and the lack of a running game. It haunted the Denver Broncos. Do you realize, might sound kind of weird, 1 year after they had won the Super Bowl with that dominant defense. Last season, the Orange Crush allowed over 130 yards of rushing per game. They couldn't run the ball themselves. That's a really bad combination. Well, good news for the Denver Broncos. So far this year, they're giving up just 52 yards on the ground per game. That's good news. That's really good news. Bad news, that offensive line is still pretty dicey. Quarterback Trevor Siemian is still a seventh round pick in just his second season. And if this team cannot generate a running game, Trevor Siemian's not good enough to carry them. Not yet. I don't know if he ever will be, but he certainly isn't yet. On Sunday against Buffalo, we saw when the Bills stuffed the Broncos' run game, Trevor Siemian couldn't carry him. He had his worst game of the season. And then we also saw Von Miller get called for a fake help you up penalty. If you missed it, one of the weirder calls I've ever seen. Late in the game, it was a third and long for the Buffalo offense. Von Miller hit Bills quarterback Tyrod Taylor, and then he acted like he was going to help him up. Then he gave him the old psych and kind of pulled his hand back and walked away. Both he and Tyrod Taylor were laughing about it, and you could see there was no ill will there. And then the ref threw a flag for unsportsmanlike conduct, automatic first down for the Bills when they didn't convert. I'm not kidding. Here, you can hear a clip from NFL.com.
On this play, Miller, like, he looks like he's going to act to help up Tyrod Taylor, doesn't help him up, and the penalty flag comes in after that. If they call that unsportsmanlike conduct, I've never seen that in football.
Following the game, the NFL also issued a release that they would be watching Von Miller for the remainder of the season, and they would be watching extra closely to make sure that he doesn't try to pull the got your nose trick, the fake handshake and run your hand through your hair trick, or if he might try the fake throw the stick for the dog trick. Hey, say what you will about the NFL. They're cracking down on the important things. The Denver Broncos have a huge game this week against the Oakland Raiders. Can they bounce back? Can they continue to stop the run? Can they get a running game going themselves? If not, they're going to struggle to get into postseason contention. Here's some good news for a team you might not have expected it from. The Los Angeles Rams are showing some major improvements so far under new head coach Sean McVay. The Rams are now 2-1, and they are in first place in the NFC West. Yes, McVay has completely flipped the Jeff Fisher offense into a group that actually, you know, scores points. And quarterback Jared Goff, he has the Rams scoring 32 points per game. Could the Rams actually contend for a playoff spot? Well, here's the bad news. They might. But beating the Colts and beating the 49ers, it's not exactly murderer's row. Or even like, I don't know, jaywalker's row. That's a pretty soft schedule. Now, they have the Cowboys and the Seahawks coming. So we're going to get a little bit of a better idea about who the Rams really are. But here is what I worried about. Playing against that soft schedule, this defense is allowing nearly 140 yards on the ground every game. I thought the strength of this team would be the defense. Hey, Wade Phillips didn't suddenly get stupid. Why are they struggling so much? Might want to shore that up, because the beefy part of your schedule is coming, Rams. Better get that going very, very soon. A couple more teams we have good news and bad news on. Yes, the Oakland Raiders lost on Sunday night to Washington, but hey, the good news, the Raiders are going to be a team to contend with this year. Derek Carr is one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and he has started off strong. Rarely makes costly mistakes. He gets rid of the football so quickly. The Raiders' offense, they're tough to consistently stop because you can't get to him. They've got a very good offensive line, and he doesn't make horrible decisions. Here's the bad news. That Oakland defense is scaring me a little bit. Hey, I picked the Raiders as my AFC representative in the Super Bowl this season. The secondary, still very average. And just like we saw against Washington, if that offense does have an off week, this team's in trouble. And they haven't gotten to the toughest part of their schedule yet either. They beat the Titans on the road in week one. After that, they face the Jets and they face Washington. Now, things are going to start to get tougher every single week. Can the Raiders live up to the preseason hype that they haven't seen in, what, 15, 16 years? We're going to see. And one question that I do have that I'm going to keep coming back to with the Raiders, how many carries does Marshawn Lynch really have in him? I'm a big believer. Running backs only have like a certain amount of carries. And after that, they're worn down. They take too many hits. They get hit on every single play. How many carries does Marshawn Lynch still having him.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Hey, next up, the Seattle Seahawks have gotten out of the gates a little slow, but the good news is this defense is still very stout. And it seems like it always kind of just takes Russell Wilson a little while to kind of get going. And it seems like once they figure out their offensive line, they'll kind of start getting some running game going. The Seattle Seahawks still have a very, very good defense. They can still get this going. They can still get turned around and make a run, right? Yeah, but here's the bad news. That defense isn't looking all that great either. Remember a few weeks ago when cornerback Richard Sherman was talking about how they know the offense isn't going to do much, and they know the defense has to carry this team, and it kind of just felt a little patronizing. Like, hey, well, our offense sucks, but fortunately, we're so good, we can just carry their sorry behinds to a few wins. Well, on Sunday against Tennessee, first off, Richard Sherman lost his mind and should have been ejected, but more importantly, that vaunted Seahawks defense allowed the Titans 420 yards and 33 points. And you know, most of it was on a lot of undisciplined, stupid plays. Okay, so I picked this team to go to the Super Bowl, and as nervous as I am about the terrible offensive line and the offense trying to figure things out and the offense just struggling the way that they usually do, the defense is kind of starting to scare me now a little bit too. Because what in the world are they doing? They're talking about we're the ones carrying this team, yet you're not getting it done either. But that is some very, very bad news for the Seattle Seahawks. Our final team in good news, bad news. Hey, let's be honest. The Detroit Lions got screwed on Sunday. If you didn't see it, trailing the Atlanta Falcons 30-26, 12 seconds left, Lions quarterback Matt Stafford hit Golden Tate for what looked like the game-winning touchdown. But upon instant replay review, the refs said, and they got it probably correct, that Tate's knee had touched the ground before he had scored. The problem is that a replay inside of 2 minutes requires a 10-second runoff. Had Tate been ruled correctly down, the Lions maybe, possibly, could have gotten off another play. But since it was ruled incorrectly on the field, replay was instituted, the runoff ended the game, and the Lions suffered their first loss of the season. But still, good news, Lions fans. You have to like what the Lions are doing this season. Matt Stafford, he looks like he's figured out how to play quarterback in the NFL. For years, we would see Matt Stafford have a really good game and then a really bad game. He's pretty consistent now. He's pretty good every single week now. And the Lions defense, they're actually playing pretty good football. The Lions made the playoffs last year, and they look like they can do it again this year. Here's the bad news, though. Why do the Lions trail in every single game they play? And I don't mean in the first quarter. I mean late in the game. They trailed the Cardinals in the third quarter in week one. They trailed Atlanta most of the day on Sunday. It seems like every week, the Lions asked Matt Stafford to make some dramatic comeback to get the win. In this league, when the margin for error is that small, you're taking a big risk when you fall behind every single game. The Detroit Lions had better figure out how to start off a little stronger, because it's way too risky to depend on a comeback every single week. Hey, our Daily Dose Top 5 is coming up next, and you know you can't miss that. Has your favorite NFL team stumbled coming out of the blocks? Are they struggling? Are you ready to give up on the NFL season already? Not so fast. You just might have some reason to have a little bit of hope. Just a quick reminder. Make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose and do any shopping that you might need to do right there. Of course, Loot Crate offers an amazing range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. If you like fashion, you can try Lootwear. You can get a bigger crate if you go with Loot DX. And if you want to geek out your pet, go order the Loot Pets Crate. October's Loot Crate theme is called Mythical, and it features items from Stranger Things, Thor, Marvel Comics, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and Ghostbusters. If you're on a quest for epic gear, for housewares, and for collectibles, Loot Crate has it. Loot Crate has pretty much any kind of merchandise you can think of, and this is quality licensed memorabilia. You can order a subscription of crates that arrives every single month. You can order just a single crate, or you can just go order individual items from crates. You can always go back, order past crates, or past items if you would like something that maybe you missed. And the best part about ordering, when you place your order, just put Daily Dose, D-A-L-Y-D-O-S-E, in that coupon box at checkout. We will get you 10% off your order. Now, if you'd like to recommend the podcast, we would appreciate that so much. It's not like we're taking out billboards. It's not like we're taking out magazine ads. We pretty much rely on you to tell your friends, your family, your coworkers that they can subscribe to the podcast wherever fine podcasts are hosted. You can go to iTunes. You can go to pretty much anywhere that has podcasts. Stitcher, Google Play, Podcast Republic, Audio Boom. They've all got the Daily Dose. Of course, blogtalkradio.com. They've got every single episode. Maybe you're going on a road trip. Maybe you're just sitting around the office one day. You just want to listen to every single episode of the Daily Dose. I mean, who doesn't want to do that, right? Go over to blogtalkradio.com. You can do it right there. If you want to share the show with a friend, just click that share button wherever it is that you listen, and you can send them a direct link to the show. And if they're technically challenged, you make it a little easier for them to figure out this wacky podcast thing. Also, make sure you stop by our podcast network, rogueintel.com. The Daily Dose is a proud member of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network, and they have a number of other podcasts over there you're going to like. They've got podcasts about current events. They've got podcasts about geek culture. They've got podcasts about movies. Go check a few of the new podcasts that are up over at rogueintel.com. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, let's say that your favorite NFL team has started off a little slow. Maybe you're thinking you should just throw in the towel on the season. Maybe you're thinking you should just pick a new team. I see you, Charger fans. You're already starting to look around the league like, who should I cheer for now? I think I'll pick a new team. I think I'll be a Patriots fan. I really like them. I've always liked them. I see you working. I know what you're up to. Don't act like you can get away with that. Hey, don't do it just yet. Because right now, yes, we have five teams in the NFL that haven't won a single game yet. The Cincinnati Bengals, the Cleveland Browns, the Los Angeles Chargers, the New York Jets, and the San Francisco 49ers, they've all started the 2017 NFL season 0-3. Is there any hope for any of these teams? Well, no, honestly, probably not. But we are in the business of giving some hope. So never say never. Because did you know that there are actually five teams that have started the season 0-3 and still managed to qualify for the NFL postseason?
What?
Well, it's true. You don't believe me? It's true. Here are the top five teams that started 0-3 and still managed to make the playoffs. It's happened before. Maybe it could happen again. Number five. We're going to go back to 1981 for our first team. You know, coming off a 4-12 season in 1980, there wasn't much reason for hope for the New York Jets in 1981. And then they lost their first three games of the season to the Bills, the Bengals, and the Steelers by a combined score of 100-40. Hey, this season's over. There is no hope. But then that defense kind of got cranked up behind Mark Gastineau and Joe Klecko. And Richard Todd, Freeman McNeil, Bruce Harper, and Wesley Walker got things going on offense. Somehow the Jets went 10-2-1 over the remainder of the season, and they made it to the playoffs as a wildcard team. Now, yes, they did lose to the Buffalo Bills and Joe Ferguson, but the New York Jets made it after starting 0-3. And you know, we didn't have to wait very long for it to happen again, because our number four entry this week, the very next year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, yes, they had made it all the way to the NFC Championship in 79, but they took a huge step back in 1981. They went 5-9-1. And then in 1982, they started off 0-3. Now, you might think, well, okay, they can come back from that. But remember, this was a strike-shortened season. So they only played like nine games that year. But Doug Williams, handing off to James Wilder, and passing to Jimmy Giles and Kevin House turned out to be a legitimate threat. And that Tampa Bay defense, being led by Leroy Selman and Hugh Green, somehow got the Bucs to win five of their final six games. And yes, in 1982, after starting 0-3 and only playing like nine games all year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers made it to the NFC wildcard game and lost to the Dallas Cowboys. Again, you might not think there's any hope for your team, but there might be. Now, this wouldn't happen again for 10 seasons. But in 1992, we got our number three entry on the top five. The San Diego Chargers were coming off a 4-12 season, but head coach Bobby Ross, he was starting to turn this group around. And even though they didn't just lose their first three games, they actually lost their first four games, the San Diego Chargers got rolling. Stan Humphries and Marion Butts got the offense going. Junior Seau and Leslie O'Neal led that defense. The Chargers won 11 of their next 12 games. They made it to the playoffs. Not only did they make it to the playoffs, they beat Dave Craig and the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC wildcard game before losing to the Miami Dolphins in the divisional round. Chargers started not just 0-3 in 92, they started 0-4 and somehow managed to win a playoff game. There's still hope. Number two. Notice how many of these teams, by the way, are not traditional winners. I mean, we've got the Chargers, we've got the Buccaneers, we've got the Jets, and we have some of those teams this season, don't we? Like, you're looking around, you're going, well, the Browns, pretty bad. The Chargers, they're pretty bad. The Niners, they're struggling. And here's another one at number two, because in 1995, the Detroit Lions were hoping that they might finally restore the roar. They had gone out and they had signed Dan Marino's backup, Scott Mitchell. And I mean, hey, Scott Mitchell looked the part. Now he's going to come in. He's going to be paired up with Barry Sanders. He's going to be paired up in that Wayne Font offense. Maybe he can get this thing going. But it didn't start off too well. The Lions lost to the Steelers, and then they lost to the Vikings, and then they lost to the Cardinals. Mitchell struggled a little early, and the defense really had to figure some things out. But finally, the Lions got going. They went 10-3 over the remainder of the season. They made it to the NFC wildcard game and lost a wild shootout to the Philadelphia Eagles. But once again, the Detroit Lions, not a team that you think of as a powerhouse. They're not a traditional winner. But they overcame an 0-3 start and made it to the postseason. Our most recent example of a team starting 0-3 was back in 1998. The Buffalo Bills lost three straight games. They lost to the Chargers, then the Dolphins, then the Rams. But all three of those games were close. And when Doug Flutie and Rob Johnson, who kind of split quarterback duties that year, finally got going, they had Antoine Smith rushing for over 1,000 yards. Wide receivers Eric Moulds and Andre Reed combined for over 200 catches. The Buffalo Bills got things turned around, and they made it to the AFC wildcard game, where they lost a heartbreaker to the Miami Dolphins. That was, by the way, the last time that the Bills have been to the postseason. But you know, the NFL season, it's so long. We want to put teams into winners and losers categories right away. But as we see here on our top five, we don't always know what teams are going to do. Maybe a team gets hot. Maybe a quarterback steps up, or maybe a coach gets his players to buy in. Suddenly, you've got an unexpected team playing their way into the postseason. Don't say it can't happen. Don't go looking for a new team just because your team has gotten off to a slow start. We've seen it happen before. Hey, next week here on The Dose, we will have the Major League Baseball postseason set, and we'll be taking a look at a few matchups and who might be moving on. You know, we looked at a few teams in college football this week that have been a disappointment. We might have to look at a few pleasant surprises, and the NFL just keeps being in the news every week, and some of it is actually on the field. We may have to run down a guest next week to talk about what all is going on in the NFL. And as you saw today, you've got to make sure that you tune in for the Daily Dose Top 5, because you never know which way the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go. Hey, I have to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening. Have to say thank you for tuning in each and every week. We are so glad to have you join us each and every week. We really do appreciate it. Thank you for recommending the show to your friends. We appreciate that as well. The bigger that we can get, the better that we can get. We would love to hear from you. If you have a comment or you'd like to contact us about anything, feel free. Hit us up with what's on your mind. Email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Thank you to those who did send in questions, tried to respond to all of those, and we talked about a few of those on the show today. We do appreciate you sending those in. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.